morning there will be two scripture readings. The first is Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed for misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. But the dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The next reading is from John chapter 1, verses 35 through 51. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Then he added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning I want to be very clear with you. I am not the Savior of this church. Not that any of you were thinking that. I'm not going to assume that. But I just want to be clear that that's not who I am. But I do seek to follow the one who is. Jesus Christ alone is head of the church. Jesus Christ alone is Savior of the church. I've always loved the story that Tony read this morning from John's Gospel. Here we meet John the Baptist. Now, often we don't think about it, but John the Baptist had disciples. John's Gospel talks about that. He had a group of people that followed after him, that believed in his teachings, that came to the river on a regular basis. John had disciples, and here we meet John the Baptist, and one day Jesus is walking along, and this is what John does. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. John points to who Jesus is, and declares who Jesus is, and guess what happens? John's disciples stop following John. And they start following Jesus. And John wants it that way. He sends his disciples on. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I've often thought of John the Baptist as a road sign. He points to who Jesus is. Perhaps that's what we should do too. Jesus is the Savior of the world, John says. Not me, so follow him. People talk about the pastor, sometimes they use the image of a shepherd. They say the pastor is the shepherd of the church, of the congregation, and the folks are the sheep. I'll be honest, I've always been uncomfortable with that. I would rather leave it alone to say that Jesus is the good shepherd. That's what he says in John's Gospel. I am the good shepherd. Let's let Jesus be the shepherd, and instead I'll just be a sheepdog. The pastor is the sheepdog, is the image a mentor of mine gave me. Well, what does a sheepdog do? He listens for the master's voice, does the master's bidding, keeps the sheep protected and safe, and guides them to the next good plot of land at the master's instructions. Sometimes nips at their heels. Sheepdog. I like that title. Some have been talking to me about Westminster Presbyterian Church and how we're going to save the church. That's how they've said it. And they've said, Chris, you're the new pastor. We're expecting you're going to start some new program, and you better start it pretty soon. And that alone will bring people here, and things will get better. The church will be great again. Here to tell you that programs do not save churches, but Jesus does. And so I'm going to be John the Baptist this morning. I'm going to be the sheepdog for you sheep, and I'm going to nip at your heels and say, we need to follow Jesus into his mission. Now that's easy to say. Because Jesus goes some places, frankly, I don't really want to go. It's scary if you follow Jesus long enough. Jesus will challenge your assumptions. Jesus will make you rethink some things that you've thought for a long time. You see, following Jesus into Jesus' missions means we have to think beyond ourselves. It's not about me. It's not about us. Instead, I have to put the needs of others first. Particularly others beyond these walls. Following Jesus into his mission, that's will bring renewed life to the church. Again, to our story from John's Gospel. I love this story because when the disciples start following Jesus, they come up and they ask him, Rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus doesn't try to explain it to them. He doesn't try to browbeat them. He doesn't even quote scripture to them. Do you know what Jesus says? He just says a simple phrase. He says, come and see. And so they do. They follow Jesus. They go to where He's staying. They spend time with Him. They listen to Him. They discover indeed who He is. And after spending time with Jesus, they get excited. They start to share that news with others. Andrew goes and finds Peter and brings Peter along. Philip, I love this, Philip goes and finds Nathanael. Did you notice what Nathanael said? Philip tells Nathanael, we found him. We found the one that the prophets and Moses wrote about, that Old Testament. They wrote about this guy. We found him, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And Philip, he leans back and says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Have you been to Nazareth? I've been to Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? When Nathanael declares his doubts, notice what Philip does. Philip doesn't try to convince him. Philip doesn't cajole him. Philip doesn't argue with him. Philip doesn't browbeat him. Philip doesn't even quote scripture. What does Philip say? Come and see. And Nathanael does. My friends, I hope that you are excited about Westminster Presbyterian Church. I am. Just this week, I had a meeting with the interim pastor, Carol Bird, and she and I were sitting and talking about various things going on, and I told her, I am having the most fun that I've had in ministry for a long time. Sure, this church has some challenges. Sure, we have some struggles. What church doesn't? But I want you to look around. Go ahead. It's okay. Look around. Notice who's here. Look at this face. For you see here, God's amazing people have gathered for the past 55 years. Here, God's amazing grace has been shared week after week. Here, God's amazing talents in your lives has made a positive difference that matters in the lives of others. Here, God's amazing salvation has changed lives. That's why you're here, isn't it? That's why I am. I hope you're excited about Westminster Presbyterian Church. I was meeting this week with a member of the church, and we were talking about church, and our conversation turned to one of the realities that is church. You see, church is built on relationships. Church is primarily, or firstly, built on our relationship with Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Church, our experience of church, is built on relationships with one another. You'll hear people talk about the family that is church. But it doesn't just end there. You see, church is built on our relationships with our neighbors. Those we live next door to and those who live next door to us, our neighbors. And if you want to talk about growing the church, if you want to talk about the church increasing in its impact in the community, then you need to focus on relationships. But notice this, the order becomes different. The first and the primary relationship you've got to begin to build and nurture is the relationship with your neighbors. When was the last time you talked to your neighbor? Or do you even know the neighbors who live here on Broad River Road and work here? The second relationship that is key is the relationship here in this room among the community that are believers. Remember what Jesus said, and they will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So when we get to know our neighbors and we bring them here and we introduce them to the community that is church, then they feel connected. And all of that is so that we can point them to the Christ who saves us. Our relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to be clear today. Jesus Christ alone is head of the church. Jesus Christ alone is Savior. And Jesus Christ is at work here. I know it. I can see it in your eyes. I can feel it whenever we gather two or three or more. The challenge before us is that we need to be like those first disciples. We need to invite others to come and see. There's a story. There's a story told about two neighbors that live next door to each other. The one family, they get up every Sunday morning and get dressed in their church clothes and try to get everybody in the car at the same time, trying to be on time. Anybody know how hard that is every Sunday morning? That's their commitment. That's their faith. They do it week after week. But I'll tell you, the man behind the steering wheel looks over at his neighbor's house where he sees his other neighbor with his golf clubs polishing that set of irons ready for the morning's tee time. And there's a little envy there. He wishes that maybe he would stay home one Sunday and take the invitation. His friend has said, "Why don't you come play golf with me? It'd be a lot of fun. We do it every Sunday morning. Come and join us." And he says, No, I do church on Sundays." And that goes week after week for months. And then finally, the church-going neighbor goes over and says, "How come you never go to church?" And the golfer says, "Because you never invited me." We need to be like Jesus' first disciples, inviting others to come and see. And when they, just like Nathaniel, say things like, "Can anything good happen on Broad River Road?" we say, "Come and see." And when they say things like, "Can anything good happen in a mainline Presbyterian church?" we say, "Come and see." "Can anything good happen with a bunch of old people?" we say, "Come and see." "Can anything good happen when there's just a few youth and just a few children?" we say, "Come and see." "Can anything good happen when you are in debt as a church?" we say, "Come and see." "Can anything good happen when you got a brand new preacher?" And we say, "Come and see. Come and see." We are Jesus' disciples. And my friends, the good news is the same. Jesus alone is salvation. And the invitation is the same. Come and see. So the question is, who is it? Who is it in your circle of influence? Your neighbors at work, at play, at home, on this street. Who is it that you need to invite to come and see? And who will you invite to come and see to the glory? glory of God. Amen.